Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel text this morning is the epistle lesson, a portion of the epistle lesson, which I'll read again for our hearing. Paul writes to the Philippians saying, "If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." These are the words given to us this morning under the theme, "Christians are to be Christ-like." Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, let me give you a name that you all know. I know that you know this person, Marion Mitchell Morrison. No one knows Marion Mitchell Morrison? You know, in our popular society, we like to say, "What would this person do?" So what about, "What would Marion Mitchell Morrison do?" You really don't care, do you? Because you really don't know who Marion Mitchell Morrison is. But if I say, "What would John Wayne do?" then the light bulb comes on. You know that there's even a website that you can go to, WWJWD, and find out exactly what John Wayne would do in certain situations. You see, dear ones, in this time here on earth, our own values are shaped in part by a bombardment of television images of greed, violence, and lust, which now are promoted as models of virtue. In a world that is now far removed from God's Word, every ethical and theological choice appears to be up for grabs. So today, here on LWML Sunday, we hear from St. Paul about a better example. And you will also hear of an example that our Lord Jesus works through the dear ladies of LWML. This morning we are reminded that since we are Christians, Christians are to be Christ-like. Paul begins this morning by telling us that being Christ-like is being united in His love. Now we must understand the definition of love according to God's Word. Love according to God's Word is that which you do for your neighbor, that which you do for your wife, for your husband, for your children, for mom and dad. It's service. That's what love is in the Bible. It's serving one another, as we are also serving our Lord Jesus, and He's serving others through us, as today He is present to actually serve you. This is His love you see here on the altar. Yet in a very threatening world, it is easy for us to become very apathetic. Apathetic towards others, apathetic towards God's Word, apathetic towards God's gifts given freely to you. We tend to place ourselves above everyone else. After all, it's all about me, myself, and I. We make ourselves into God, therefore violating God's first commandment, that we are to have no gods before His face, that we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And the word all is very important. All means all, and that's all that all means. All things. It is not necessary, as Christians, that we are to be hateful or vicious, and we are not to be indifferent. Yet in this life, we see it all too often. People are hateful towards us. People are vicious towards us. People are indifferent towards us. And unfortunately, we Christians, we do the same thing to others. Rather than fostering a sense of community here in our church or within our families, we are tempted to go it alone. Even though, my dear friends, there's no such thing as a loner Christians. It's really a contradiction in terms. Remember, at your baptism, the Trinity lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you, guarding and guiding you. You live in Christ as Christ lives in you. You are never alone. So the term of a loner Christian just doesn't make theological sense. To be united with Christ is to be united also with each other in Christ-like love. This is that distinctive, cross-shaped agape love described in our text this morning and received again this morning through the means of grace. God is proclaiming to each of you this morning. He is proclaiming to you His sacramental love given to you in body and in blood. This is an example of pure love, a pure gospel of the forgiveness of all of your sins. This is the love that can change us from loner Christians to lover Christians, united in spirit and purpose, reaching out to one another with compassion, just as Jesus had compassion on the people. We too, since we live in Christ, are to have compassion for other people. A Christ-like lifestyle also means practicing humility. In a world of fierce competition, in a world of me, myself, and I, do to the other person before the other person does to me, we are caught up in the proud desire to get ahead at the expense of everyone else. St. Paul this morning cautions you. He cautions you against selfish ambition and vain conceit. Martin Luther went so far as to define sin as, I quote, the self curved in upon itself, end quote. The self curved in on oneself. That's really the essence of sin. Me, myself, and I, all the time, every day, and always. That's not a Christ-like attitude. That is not being Christ-like. That is not living in His love. That is not Christ-like humility. Christ-like humility can turn our self-centeredness inside out. Practicing Jesus' humility enables us to consider others better than ourselves. And dear friends, we have examples of that here this morning, the ladies of LWML. It's been an honor to serve the LWML now these 9 years as their zone counselor. And at their conventions, at our rallies, and even in our society meetings, I now see and understand what it truly means to serve. The LWML is a shining example of Jesus' humble compassion shown to other people as they are ready in season and out of season, always to proclaim Jesus and all that He has done for them and all that He is continuing to do for those around the world through their missions. Jesus is their example. And it is obvious to us that they are shining examples of their Lord Jesus. So therefore, applying His humility makes it possible for us, for you, for the LWML, to look not only to our own interest, but also to the interest of others. The extreme extent of Jesus' humility is demonstrated, dear friends, in his willingness to come down out of heaven, to leave his heavenly throne, and come down to serve you, to serve you as a servant, and to die a criminal's death, not on a golden throne, but on a rugged cross, a wooden throne, of which he was nailed to. Not for himself, but for each and every one of you and for the whole world. Through his redemptive humility, our self-centeredness, your self-centeredness, is forgiven. At the cross, you discover a source of changing your selfish ambition into an attitude that is Christ-like. A Christ-like lifestyle means being blameless and innocent. We are not to be grumblers or nitpicky. We're not ones who are to be always finding fault in everyone else. But then when we look in the mirror, we like to say, yeah, I'm pretty good. The mirror, by the way, if you think that, is not lying to you. You think you're good, but the mirror of the law tells you that you are not good. It tells you that you are a poor, miserable sinner. Therefore, at the cross, you discover the resource of changing your selfish ambition into an attitude that is again more Christ-like. We will often be called by our Lord God to do that which is ridiculed by the world, especially if you have non-Christian friends. They will see that your service to others is the most insane thing that you could ever do. What? You're not taking care of yourself. You're more interested in that person down the street, around the block, on the next farm. You must be nuts. Yes, in this world we are often ridiculed. Jesus told us that we would suffer, and that because of his name, we may even suffer to the point of death. But stand firm, dear ones. Stand firm, for Jesus is living in you, and you are living in Jesus. Let them ridicule you. Let them make fun of you. On the last day, you will stand before your Lord, and you will rejoice. And for them, they will live eternally, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But don't leave them in their sin. Proclaim the truth to them. Proclaim to them what Jesus has done for you. And then the Holy Spirit will do his work. It is the Holy Spirit who will convert them, not you. It is the Holy Spirit who will convict them, not you. It is the Holy Spirit who will lead them to repent of their sins. And then they will understand through the waters of holy baptism what it truly means to be Christ-like. Dear friends, yes, we are to be blameless and innocent. Though we live in a crooked and depraved world, there's no doubt of that. We are not to be of the world. We live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Our Father in heaven calls you. He calls you to be blameless before the world. He calls that your motives are to be pure before him. And how do you do that? You hold fast. You hold fast to the word. You cling to your Lord in faith. You come to his altar and receive from him body and blood for the strengthening of your faith. God knows you can't do this all on your own. That's impossible. God knows that you need the gifts that he gives freely to you here in this place, the Word, the Blessed Sacraments. Dear ones, you can only be pure and blameless as you live in God's grace and in His mercy each and every day, knowing that you, in the confession of your sins, believing in faith that God is faithful and that it is He who justifies, and when He justifies, He declares to you, your sin is forgiven. He doesn't leave you to your own devices. No, He gives to you Word and Sacrament. So therefore, since we are surrounded by conflicting morals and theological choices, we cannot turn to our John Wayne, and we cannot turn to any human hero for salvation or for answers. Nor can we simply ask, what would Jesus do? Rather, we must ask, dear ones, what did Jesus do? What did He do? What He did is that He went to the cross. He suffered for you. He bled for you. He, in His humility, bore your sins upon His shoulders, nailing them to a cross. And then He confessed His lordship as He cried out, "It is finished!" There in His grace and mercy and forgiveness, you are now able to receive from Him His precious gifts of body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Dear Christians, you are Christ-like. Shine the light of Christ in your life. And know that as you shine the light, others will see that light. And the Holy Spirit will work in and through that light. And as you continue to shine the light of Christ, know that He is always with you. He will never leave or forsake you. That is His promise. And even today, He is present to serve you for the forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.